like to begin the sermon by giving you the title. I don't always do this. Sometimes I do. But I thought today I would be giving you the title of the sermon first, because the title of the sermon needs to be introduced early in the sermon. I promised the young people last Sabbath in Buffalo that I would have a presentation for them. We might say a present for them today. And so I'm going to be presenting to each one of you during the sermon a present. I didn't tell Jackson and Mason. But there will be a present for you. Let's see if I can get it out here. So we'll be ready. The title of the sermon, I told you this, and I'm holding out on you, I guess.
Forgot to do this. I can't manage more than one thing at a time, Andy. Title of the sermon, if I can find it here. Silver spoons. Silver spoons. And there's something that has to do with the Day of Trumpets that a silver spoon reflects. I hope you'll be able to see that as I present it to you. Why this title? Why silver spoons on the Day of Trumpets? And this is a I'll be presenting each of the young people who performed in this presentation today. How old are you, Linda? I didn't plan to bring one for you. I didn't know you were a young person in the choir. I'm sorry. All of these are sterling silver spoons. And we've accumulated sterling silver over the years through my family. And it used to be something that was done a lot with young ladies who were growing up. They were building a treasure trove of silver, which they would have and be able to put into their home whenever they were grown. Both of my sisters were I hate to tell you this, every year at Christmas and on their birthday, were given a piece of silverware as a gift. It was from a couple of aunts and uncles, my mother and father. They would each, those two occasions during the year, and it was a significant purchase for them. They would buy for each one of my sisters, the girls that were very important and close to them, they would buy one of these silver pieces. Might be a fork, might be a spoon, might be a knife. This is a serving spoon. This is not one of the ones I'll be giving out. I'm using it for demonstration purposes because it's a little bit larger and can be seen a little bit better by you. And it has a very ornate. This one has a very ornate pattern on it. There are different ones that I have here that I'll be giving out. I sort of organized them by families. So I'm going to be presenting them to each one of the young people. I'll call them up by family and give them to them. And so I'm going to be giving them because, as I mentioned, the trumpets that are blown this time of the year, also made out of this same material, silver. Silver is regarded as one of the most precious metals. And it is a very precious metal. It has a lot of function to it. It is very good electrically. It's very good in transmitting heat and so forth. You can use silver for many different things. Here's a hint that I had that I put down here. You'll all be familiar with this song, I guess. It was written by Harry Chapin, Cats in the Cradle, Silver Spoon. Now, why does that song appear in that? Why does that that phrase appear in the song? So, Cats in the Cradle, Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue, The Man in the Moon. We'll get together then, son. You know we'll get together then. We'll have a good time then. But that phrase appears, the silver spoon, in that song. And so on behalf of the congregation now, I'm going to be presenting silver spoons to all of the singers. Not yet. First of all, I'd like to build up a little bit talking about treasures. We all have treasures. And the reason I'm talking about treasures now in the introductory part of the sermon is because I hope that each one of you, Nicholas, Alexa, McKenna, Talia, Althea, Jackson, Mason, that you will start to treasure the spoon that I'm going to give you today in the same way that I'm reflecting that I've treasured some of the things that I have over the years. I have here something that's a personal treasure to me. Now, you've never seen me wear it because I don't think I've worn it probably in 30 years. And I never did wear it very often. But it's my class ring. I graduated from school. I still treasure it. It's solid gold, and it has some value to it. My father really wanted me to have it. And so I told him I wasn't that enamored with having the thing. But he wanted me to have it because he had laid down a lot of his life so I could go to school and ultimately receive this. And he wasn't going to be satisfied except he could buy it for me. And I guess I think in terms of that as well, that God has provided a lot of things for us, and they are treasures, and we ought to make them treasures. So I thought about this ring. It's a class ring, like all other class rings. To me, it's personal because I know where I went to school, and I know the difficulty of that institution. And it was a little bit more so as far as I was concerned. And I'm really glad to have it, even though I don't wear it. I don't display it very much. It means a lot to me, to a large measure, because it represents accomplishment, but also, more importantly, because it represents something that was given to me by my father. Like Mason, your father gave you something, and you're 70 years old. Would you come to the point of thinking it may be really special? You have to learn to treasure things as time goes on. I also had asked Hazel, and this is indication that it wasn't the kind of treasure that maybe I should have been making it. Over the years, I had an award that was presented to me when I was in the Boy Scouts. Eagle Scout Award. And I was going to bring that up here as one of my treasures, but we couldn't find it. So apparently, bad example. Haven't been treasuring that as I should have over the years. Again, it's important to me, not because of what I did, but because of the men who worked with me. I never would have had that if there hadn't been a group of men who kind of laid down a part of their life so that I could accomplish that and stand up in front of a group of people and receive it as though I had done it. And really, without their support and help, I wouldn't have been able to. So I treasure it because I can look at it, think about Bill Eskew, who was the scoutmaster, Mr. Word, Mr. Watts, Mr. Tasker, those men who supported me helped me, developed me in fulfilling the merit badges that I had to have in order to get it. So it became a treasure of mine. And what I'm saying to you is I'm hoping that this silver spoon that we're going to be presenting to you will become a treasure of yours, partly because it has some value. You know, this ring has some value, but that's not the reason it's a treasure. It is a treasure because of what it represents. And there are all kinds of treasures. Hazel has treasure from her mother and the furniture that was in her house when she grew up. And she sent it and had it refinished. And so she's kept some of that. That's to Hazel a treasure. So what I want to do is consider the treasures which you have, which relate to this Day of Trumpets. Not just the physical treasures, but you've already stood up here and you've told us why it is that Trumpets is a treasure to you. So I hope you'll inculcate that, you'll make it a part of what you think about, especially in the next week or so, but every time, if you can go back and you can take the spoon that I give you and you can put it in a special place, and I'll talk about a special place to put and keep it. You can go back and recall those things as time goes on. And you'll have something in particular which reminds you of those things. I said, this one is a serving spoon, and different spoons have different functions. I don't know where this spoon came from. It's also a silver spoon, a sterling silver spoon. This one was obviously a feeding spoon for a baby. And it used to be, when I was growing up, that if you had a baby in your family, somebody might well go and buy a silver spoon to give to that baby so as it began to eat solid food, it would have a spoon that would do that. There's a fork that goes with it. I don't know who bought it. It's a shame, isn't it? I don't know who bought this, where it came from, and I haven't kept it as a treasure. I hope you will keep the things that you have as treasures, and you'll go back and you'll look at them and you'll think about them. Some spoons, this one is a serving spoon, this is a feeding spoon. I have some, there's a little bit of an argument between Anita and Hazel. You wouldn't think that would ever happen, would you? There was a disagreement about... There were three spoons. You three girls are going to get those three spoons. There was a disagreement between the two of them about what the function of this particular set of spoons was. They're long-handled spoons. Hazel thought that they were iced tea spoons. Anita said, no, those are ice cream spoons. You may have a dish this long and you're dipping the ice cream down all the way to the bottom and you have this long handle spoon and you can use it for that. Since these spoons are going to be for three very beautiful young ladies, I'm going to assume they're ice cream spoons. I'll present them to you as ice cream spoons. I'm going to be asking you to come up. According to family, and I've divided these spoons up, they're not all alike. They're not all alike. In fact, there's only three of them in here that are alike. And they're because I had three girls in the same family, I thought that I would present those to the three girls. First of all, let me put my, before I walk off here and make an embarrassment out of myself, let me put this in my coat pocket. And I'll come out in front of the lectern, and I'll meet you girls, and I will present you these spoons. First of all, will be the Kalia girls. I'd like to ask you to come up. The three of you come up, and I'm going to present you with one of these sterling silver spoons. I know Ani's going to be very worried about coming up to meet me. But Ani, this is a silver spoon for you. And I want you to, I hope you will keep it, and you'll put it in a special place, and you'll remember it, and you'll remember it as something from the Day of Trumpets. You're welcome. Althea, keeping him in order here. Here is a silver spoon for you. This one is a little bit different because it's got a scalloped edge on it. What is that for, Hazel? That's a sugar spoon. Now, do you think that you would be a sugary girl? And Talia, I think this is, I don't know if this is a, huh? This is also a sugar spoon. So we have three girls who have sugar spoons, and I hope that you will take these on behalf of the congregation and remember the Day of Trumpets by them and learn the lessons of the Days of Trumpets. And when you take those spoons out, look at them and think about what trumpets means. Okay? I can go around this way now without getting twisted up in the wire, can't I? Jackson and Mason. Sue pointed out this would be alphabetical. I didn't intend it to be alphabetical. But anyway, Mr. Jackson Holloway, you also have a sugar spoon. No? She doesn't know what that spoon is for. I'm not so knowledgeable in spoons. But that's a spoon for you to keep. I hope you will put it in a special place and take care of it. Mr. Mason Holloway, there's a spoon for you to keep. Now I'd like to ask as well, save them to last because I hate to see them go, so I made them come last. But if the Regord young people would come up, and we will have a presentation of a spoon for each one of you. Your spoon, Mr. Nicholas, is different. It's not a long-handled spoon like the ones that the girls have, but it's a little bit more masculine spoon, I think. It's ornate. It's an ornate spoon. It has all kinds of things on the shank of the spoon, or the handle of the spoon, but it's more like you might want as a boy. Now, let's see. I got names written on here, too. Alexa. Here's a long handle, and you may continue the debate between Hazel and Anita as to what kind of a spoon it is. But I think beautiful girls ought to have ice cream spoons. So there you go. McKenna?
You're welcome. Elena? You're welcome.
So the idea is, of course, that they will have something to take away, to remember, to keep for a long period of time, and to connect in their mind to the fact that they stood up and explained what trumpets means to them. And they'll go back from time to time and repeat that as the years go by. I'm going to give you some little bit of information about silver spoons. It comes from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. So I'm going to read to you some of the things out of there. It says the English language expression, silver spoon, is synonymous with wealth. I gave you something there. Are you really wealthy? Well, you are really wealthy because I'm making this a joint kind of explanation. The spoon is not really anybody's wealth. Your wealth is contained in the things that God has provided for you. This is just a symbol. This is just an indication. This is just something that you can connect to the things that God has given you, which relate to the Day of Trumpets. And I don't just mean the young people that were up here and singing, but I mean Marilyn and Linda and the Hills and the Kesters and Lee. Every one of us, Dean. Didn't mean to overlook you, Dean. I did. Betty, you know, sorry, I look around, but these are the treasures that God has given to us. God has given us treasures. The Feast of Trumpets, all of God's holy days are treasures. This is a particular treasure, the Day of Trumpets. And I hope they will connect to this. The spoon, the treasures of the Feast of Trumpets. English language expression, silver spoon, that's an expression. You find it. We sang the song a little bit, a line or two from Harry Chapin's song, Cat in the Cradle of Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue, The Man in the Moon. What does that in there mean? Especially, it's synonymous with wealth. It says, especially inherited wealth. There was a time when silver spoon was an indication of particular wealth. Now it wasn't wealth like we have wealth today, because things were not the same in those days as they are now. As an adjective, silver spoon describes someone who has a prosperous background or is of a well-to-do family environment, often the connotation that the person doesn't appreciate, often with the connotation that it's not appreciated by the person. He's just somebody who inherited his wealth. Born with a silver spoon in his mouth. You were born in that way. Silver spoon in your mouth. Spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth. Dropping down a ways. Before the place setting. Can you imagine? There was a time when there were no place settings. We went to dinner last night, and we really had a nice dinner fixed. Linda had done a lot of the cooking, and Hazel and Anita also had contributed to it, but there was a lot of really nice food. And we didn't have place settings. You know, we typically would go on an occasion like that, and we would have cutlery set on the table with all of those things, but we had plastic. Where on the kitchen counter we picked it up. No? Maybe it wasn't last night. Maybe it was the night before. I've been... I've been not so cognizant as I should be. Before the place setting became popular, do you know when the place setting became popular? It says around 1700. People would put spoons, forks, knives, and so forth on the table with the plates. People brought their own spoon to the table. You know, you come to eat, bring your own spoon, buddy. Carrying them in the same way that people today carry wallets and keys. So if I reach in my pocket here and I pull out a wallet or I pull out keys to the car, it was the same way. People would bring a spoon with them when they came to eat. They had to bring their own spoon. In modern and pre-modern times, ownership of a silver spoon was an indication. If you had a silver spoon when you came, it was an indication of wealth and social class and denoted membership in the land-owning class. So you were really, you were showing people who you were. If you came to dinner with, and everybody brought their own spoon, you brought a silver one. I would have probably brought a plastic one. But you bring a silver one. In the Middle Ages, when farmers and craftsmen worked long hours and frequently got dirt under their fingernails, it was important not to be mistaken for a serf or escaped slave. Under these circumstances, a silver spoon served as the functional equivalent of a passport. We just worked to get a passport for Valdur Vesingi. And Valdur was going to pick it up right about the time that I was leaving. It was going to be ready. He was going to go to Germany for the Feast of Tabernacles. And he didn't need a passport yesterday, but apparently he does today. Because the Germans have shut the borders now because of all of the immigrants that are coming in from the Middle East. So now you're going to have a passport to get into Germany there. And he, fortunately, we did go ahead and apply for one for him, even though we didn't know if he would really need it. If you were in the time period of the 1700s, silver spoon, there's your passport. It was acceptable to people to recognize you with a silver spoon. It also served as the functional equivalent of a driver's license. I don't know if it was identified in such a way that it was specifically used to identify you, and a credit card. I guess it meant, if you're going to go into the inn, you didn't go to the motel the way you do today and plop down your credit card. They stamp it and give it back to you. But when you went into the inn, if you were going to be received there and they were going to grant you credit at the inn, and you were going to pay when you left, show them your silver spoon. That was enough to recognize it. But there were some other things. As well. It says, beyond their value and aesthetics, silver utensils self-sanitize. Did you know that? I found that out, I don't know, a year or two ago, that when the various peoples were crossing the plains to the west coast in a wagon, they had to take water with them for substantial distances, and they had to have that water to drink. Now, if you put water in a barrel and you didn't do something to sanitize that water, you drink it and you would probably end up getting quite ill. So what did they do in order to keep the water pure? I thought it was an interesting trick. Maybe I'll need to use it someday. They would put a couple of silver dollars in the barrel of water, and it would keep the water pure from infections until they would get to the next watering hole where they could fill it up as well. So silver is interesting in that way, isn't it? Silver utensils self-sanitize. Silver has antimicrobial properties due to the oleodynamic effect. We have a kind of silver gel that you can put on something that has an infection. And we were given this by Boyd Jan, who lives in Canada. And we started putting it on places that were infected, and it started really healing them up. Brian had gone to the ocean, and he'd gotten his foot on some coral, and it really looked ugly. I gave him some of this gel to put on it. It was a miracle, virtually. In like two or three days, all of the infection that appeared to be on his foot was gone. So it's very good in that way. Silver has lots of different things that it's good for. It says silver spoons have also been used to detect poison. So I picked this up and I put it in some poison. So because silver tarnishes on contact with sulfur, thus detecting the presence of arsenic sulfides and arsenic poisoning. The phrase, born with a silver spoon in his mouth, appeared in print in English as early as 1719 in the translation of Don Quixote. If we have treasures, I mentioned earlier, don't we need a place to put and keep our treasures? Here's an example that has been set for us. God had treasures. Christ had treasures. They created, first of all, a tabernacle and a temple. And in the tabernacle and then in the temple were these areas which are called the Holy of Holies. They were for the most precious things to be put. And inside the Holy of Holies was a box. A box. And in the box were put the three most precious things. Those were the rod that budded, the Ten Commandments, the two tablets of stone, and what was the other one? Pot of manna, right. Those three things were in the box that was carried around by the Israelites as they moved from place to place and ultimately rested in the tabernacle. They were in a very, very special place. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 6 sort of points this out to us. It says, when these things were ordained, well, talking about the things that were being done by the priest there in the temple, when they were thus ordained, the priest always went into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second chamber in the tabernacle, went the high priest alone only once a year. It was so special that it wasn't something that was used on a regular basis. But occasionally, they would go into that once a year, into that very special place. Into the second went the high priest alone. Nobody else could go in there but the high priest. One time a year, but not without blood. He had to do some special ceremonial things before he would could go in there, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. I just point that out because I think we all need a special place to put our treasures. Now, I'm not talking, it probably seems like I'm talking just about some physical treasures now and a physical place to put our physical treasures. But ultimately, I want to get to the point of mentioning to you that we ought to have a special place in our heart for the things which God has provided for us, and a place to keep them in there and to consider them in the same way that we do the physical things. Here's an example of some things that I have in a special place. Unlike the Boy Scout badge, the Eagle badge that I couldn't find. Here are some things that I have at our house in our china cabinet. They're special things to me. They're treasures to me. And I just try to exemplify for you that I hope that you will be keeping the things that God has given to you in a much more treasured way than I'm keeping these things. But I'm keeping them in a treasured way, and I think that they might be interesting to you as examples of how important you should make the things of God. This is a t-shirt, right? It fits me. This t-shirt was given to me by Jackson this past year. They were in the state championship little league tournament, and so some of the players bought for some of their relatives a shirt like this. Horseheads Little League All-Stars and the age of it, and then the name of each one of the players. Down here, you'll see Jackson Holloway's name on it. And he gave that to me. Now, it's a treasure to me because number one, he made the team, of course. But it's also a treasure to me because he cared enough about me to present it to me. And so I've taken this and I've put it. I didn't want to wear it. You know, I thought this is pretty special thing. I'm going to take it and keep it in. We have a special place to keep some treasures. It's our china cabinet in the living room. In the dining room. It's the area between the living room and the dining room. It's a china cabinet. And so I find things that I think are very special, and I put them in there. And this Horseheads Little League All-Star team, which Jackson was a part of, it's a special treasure to me. I put it in there. It doesn't look like much, does it? But it's a treasure to me. It's a treasure to me. It's a game ball versus Parker's. 6-3-15. Win. It says W, 9-8. And the coach of Mason's baseball team awarded that game ball to Mason. I never knew of an 8-year-old before to be awarded a game ball and I wasn't there. I don't know what happened in the game, but I know he was awarded this ball. It isn't mine, but I treasure it. It's Mason's. I took it away from him and put it in my china cabinet until he would appreciate it more. Because I was afraid he was going to take it outside and play with it and ruin it. And hardly anybody ever has one of those at his age. So it was a treasure. This also is one of my treasures. This is a cup that was given to me. It was the first thing that I could identify that was given to me by one of my grandchildren. Jackson brought it back from Ocean City, Maryland. Some of you may be going to the Feast of Tabernacles in Ocean City, Maryland, when he was maybe 2 years old. He brought it back. And I used it for a while, but I don't use it anymore. I put it in the china cabinet as well, where I keep my treasures. I hope that each one of you who has one of these spoons will find a place where you can put it and keep it, and it will, you can go back to it through the years and you will be able to look at it and see those same things. Special places, I thought of a special place. Maybe it was, it's kind of a secret place, right, Mason? Mason and I went fishing one day, and we spent the whole day fishing, and then I took Mason up, and I shared a secret place with Mason that I have. Sometimes in the middle of the day, I might go to that place, and I might pull underneath the tree that's there. Well, actually, there's a clump of trees, a grove of trees right there, hemlock trees. The trees are very big and tall, and the branches come right down to the ground. I can pull under there. Even in the heat of the summer, it's cool. The air is fresh. It has a nice hemlock aroma about it, and I can relax there for a little while. And so I didn't show anybody else, but I showed Mason. It's one of those things that we have as a special treasure between ourselves. The cup is maybe a special treasure that I have with Jackson. You have special treasures, special things. Point is, wherever it is, we need to have a special place where we can keep our treasures. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the story, short story of Silas Mariner. We used to read a lot when I was in school, and you read all of these kind of things. There was this individual whose name was Silas Mariner, and Silas was written about as being a hermit and being a miser and a hermit. He had a cabin in the backwoods, and he had in his cabin, he had saved all of his life, and the most important thing to him in his life was a pot of gold that he had collected, and he would bring that pot of gold up out of the floor. He had it hidden under a floorboard in his cabin. He would bring it out of the floor, and he would just admire and get the greatest gratification out of having seen that collection of money that he had accumulated. Now, we don't want to have that kind of an attitude about, you know, things that God gives us, but God has given us treasures, and we ought to really have an intense appreciation for the treasures that God has given to us, in the same way that this individual who's written up in the short story, Silas Mariner, had about his container of gold that he would take up out of the floor, look at, and get great gratification out of every night whenever he did that, when everybody was gone away from the area. I hope that the spoon represents for you great value, not just in a physical way, because it isn't that great a value in a physical way, but that it does give you something to wrap the understanding about God's way and the meaning of the Day of Trumpets. Since you stood up here and spoke in that way, that it will represent that for you. Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Matthew chapter 13, there are seven parables. And most of them start out saying the kingdom of heaven is like, and then it follows through with what it's like, and a point for why it's like that way. Very interesting that there are specifically seven of them talked about there in Matthew 13. It is an important day in Christ's life. Here's one of the things. Maybe you can connect this up to this Day of Trumpets and to the thing that you've got to keep to look back at and think about. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45. Partly I chose it because it isn't too long. It's going to be easy enough for you to specifically remember it pretty well. Kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Now, pearls are valuable, aren't they? You young ladies know that if you've got pearls, well, they used to be a lot more valuable than they are because now people raise oysters to create the pearls, you know, and times gone by, you had to go find the oysters in the ocean and open them up, and maybe once in who knows how many, you would find a pearl in there. And then to find a really nice pearl, because shape would be important, and the size would be important, and every pearl, just because there was a pearl in an oyster, which is very, very unusual in the first place, to then find one that was perfectly formed and one that was large. Well, it was a very unusual thing. And so they sold for a lot of money. It was a treasure. You know, we talked about, we heard in the announcement, too, about High Sierra, and the camp that was there is a treasure. We're asking God to help protect that camp so that we can continue to use it. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. But you know what? The kingdom of God is like this one pearl. Not like every pearl. Not like a string you hang around your neck. This is like one single pearl. Of great price. Of great price. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. He sold everything he had, and he bought this one pearl. So we say it may be like Silas Mariner. This merchant man sacrificed all that he had for this one single pearl. That's what we're talking about here with this Day of Trumpets, return of Jesus Christ. It is like that pearl of great price, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, which is coming to the earth. It comes here on this day, pictured by the return of Jesus Christ. I'd like to talk to you before the sermon ends about three treasures. I hope maybe, I'll put it this way, you can wrap around your spoon and keep together with it. And I'll read you the scriptures from it. I'm not trying to get too complicated in doing it. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, talks about a trumpet. This is the Day of Trumpets. The seventh angel sounded. Six other angels are going to sound before. Whether we'll hear them, I don't know. I don't see any indication we would actually hear those trumpets sound. This one, it seems to say, we will audibly hear it here on the face of the earth when the angel comes and sounds that trumpet. The seventh angel sounded. There were great voices in heaven saying. If there's great voices in heaven, I think we may well hear them. The kingdoms, this is what they're saying. The kingdoms of this world are become. It's like when that trumpet has sounded, it's already happened. They are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever. We live our lives, go to school every day, you come back, and you think everything continues every day the way it always has, but one day things are going to be quite, quite different. And we'll probably go through, and no doubt we'll go through a great period of difficulty before the time that this trumpet sounds. When it does sound, I mean, this just sounds kind of hard to believe, but there's going to be these voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever. Question for you all. How do you know that there is a silver spoon in your mouth? That was the thing, isn't it? It was an idiomatic expression. If you had a silver spoon in your mouth, you all did. You all did, because God had ordained from the beginning that He was going to call you to serve in His kingdom. But how do you know that you had that silver spoon in your mouth? How do you know that you were born to that privilege? Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. You're sitting here now, and it tells us that when that trumpet sounds, Christ returns, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever. It says there that there's going to be those people who want to make war with Christ. Revelation 17, verse 14 says, the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. They that are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. A couple of things there grammatically for you to notice. There's a singular and a plural. Singular and a plural. It says, He is Lord of lords. Singular is who? Singular is Christ. He is the Lord, but there are also lords mentioned in there. And King of kings. Who are the plurals? Everybody knows that Christ is the singular, don't they? He is the Lord, or the priest, of the priestly ones. And He is the King of the kingly ones. But you've been called to also be a part of that group. It's hard to imagine and hard to believe, but that is what you've been called for. As you sit here in this beautiful valley, observing this day of trumpets, and you have this silver spoon which you can take and remind yourself of, that you have been called to become a king and that you've been called to become a priest. And that doesn't matter if you've got a silver spoon today or not. You already had one. You already had one. God had already put a silver spoon, if it's an indication that God was calling you for, you know, a future for all of humanity. You already had that before you came here. But king, singular, kings, plural, Lord, singular, Lords, plural, preposition of, one of, the leader of the group. Prepositions, they used to tell us, is anything a squirrel can do to a tree. I don't know if that really fits here, but anyway. You have a singular and plural combination. You have a, I guess you would say, passport, silver spoon, passport, credit card, whatever, as it was regarded in times gone by. Now, here's the other thing that you should always remember and think about. In chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, there it tells us something maybe about yourself. You may not. You might be among those, if you're a young person, who doesn't even go through the death that normal people are going to go through. Because all of us pretty much go through death. But Paul says everybody will not. Paul says that everybody will not. Who will and who won't? Well, I don't know, and neither does anybody else who's a physical human being on the face of the earth right now. But here's what Paul said. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the people who are dead, so that you're not sorrowful as the rest of the people are, even as those which have no hope. What do we know? We know that Jesus died and rose again. And when Jesus comes, when the trumpet blows, Christ returns, those people who have died, Christ will bring with Him. Verse 15. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord. You know, we which are alive and remain. He's saying some people are going to be alive and remain, not going to even experience the typical kind of death that human beings will experience. Those who are alive and remain won't go first, will not prevent them which are asleep. The Lord Himself, again, this is the day of trumpets, this is talking about that day of trumpets, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. I assume that's a silver trumpet. You know, it's not we wouldn't think the shofar. If you've seen Dave Teague's painting of the day of trumpets, he has kind of a wispy figure up in the air with a trumpet extending out on it, blowing, and misty figures coming up from the earth toward that cloud figure, which is a trumpet. Second resurrection. The trumpet will blow. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's three things that I thought to remind you of. This is a pearl of great price. Day of Trumpets, Kingdom of God. It is a pearl of great price. First thing to remember, Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Kingdoms of this world, trumpet sounds, kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. Secondly, those that are with Him are the kings of the King of Kings. So those, for He is Lord, King, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. They that are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. You see, there's going to be a resurrection of the dead, but not everybody will die. So those are three things to think about and to remember, maybe in conjunction with the spoon that you have. Matthew chapter 13, verse 51. We'll read three verses of Scripture here and concluding the sermon. Jesus said unto them, verse 51. This is the end of, at the end of Matthew chapter 13. You know, I told you there are seven parables in there which relate to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this thing. The kingdom of God is like that thing. The kingdom of God is like another thing. The kingdom of God is like a merchant man who sought the pearl of great price. After He had finished telling them those seven parables and making partial explanations to them, whether He made full explanations, I don't know. Maybe He did, maybe He didn't. It doesn't really reveal to us that He had made full explanations to them. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? Now, I can say to you, I can say to me, have I understood all these things? And I could say, yeah, I think I do. But I'm pretty sure I don't. Even though I think I do, there's always seemingly more to learn. They said, yea, Lord. Then He said something to them. He said, every scribe and every one of you sitting here, you know, could be considered a scribe, somebody who writes about, reads about, understands, studies, and knows something about the kingdom of God. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. So you have things, something maybe that you can keep in your treasure, which you can bring out from time to time. Not just the physical things, but the spiritual things. What this Day of Trumpets means. What it means to you. How you can have something tangible in your hand that you can look at, which will bring back to your memory these scriptures and these concepts. And you will renew them in your mind as time goes by. Every scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven, it's like a man that is a householder. We have a little china cabinet in our house. And we bring out of that china cabinet from time to time treasures which are both old and new. And they said, yes, Lord, we understand. When it came to pass that Jesus had finished these parables, He departed from there.